WTAW News time is 8:05. It's 51 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by Merry Maids. Call 979-595-1111 or go to merrymaids.com. Merry Maids, relax. It's done. Good morning. I'm Kat McMullen. Brazos County Commissioners this week approved a first-ever junkyard ordinance. County Judge Dwayne Peters says they wanted to be proactive to protect the environment as well as aesthetics outside of city limits.
It's not only the neighbors around there, but making sure that they don't spill things that could get into groundwater and all those things. These only pertain to outside the city limits. It doesn't pertain to any of the junkyards inside the city limits. They're already controlled by the cities. These will be for any junkyard that might want to come in.
The new regulation also requires existing junkyards outside city limits to meet screening requirements by October 1st. You can read what was approved on our website at WTAW.com. Meanwhile, some opponents of a proposed private landfill west of Easterwood Airport will get another chance to speak to state officials. The Texas Commission on Environmental Quality has scheduled what is called a contested case hearing next month in Bryan. Officials compare this to a civil trial in district court. While anyone can attend the hearing, to qualify as a speaker, they must demonstrate how they would be adversely affected by the landfill in a way not common to the general public. On our website at WTAW.com, you can find more information about the hearing scheduled the morning of April 3rd in the Brazos County Commission's meeting room. And Brazos County has achieved a population milestone.
The Census Bureau's population estimate as of last July topped 200,000 for the first time. That's an increase of 3,000 from the year before and 6,000 more from the 2010 official census. Updates for Bryan and College Station will be released later this year. But the newest population figure for the BCS area, which takes in other counties, is more than 234,000. That's also an increase of 6,000 from 2010. For the 12-month period ending last July, the Dallas-Fort Worth area led the nation in population growth, followed by Houston, the Woodlands, Sugarland Metro. On the opposite end of the spectrum, 96 rural counties in Texas lost population. Robertson County dipped by about 200, Leon and Madison counties by fewer than 100. Headcount in Burleson, Grimes, and Washington counties increased by less than 100. The census tables are on our website at WTAW.com. Bill Oliver, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
The Downtown Bryan Association is among several groups asking the City Council to display public art on vacant city lots. DBA Director Renee Lawrence says students from A&M and the Bryan School District would build public art in the block bordered by 21st and 22nd Streets, North Main, and Bryan Avenue.
What we're building, if you can imagine a cube, a 10-foot by 10-foot by 10-foot cube, except it doesn't have any walls or sides on it, so really what it is just the framework of a cube. That's built out of steel tube, and we're building four of those. And cubes, they can be aligned or, you know, dispersed along the lot.
The proposal goes before the City Council, acting as the Bryan Commerce and Development Board, next Tuesday. A professor at A&M says entire towns in the Rio Grande Valley are in danger of running out of water as early as this spring. Extension engineer Guy Phipps, who works with Valley Water Systems, says the situation is dire.
The problem there is the drought in the watershed area where they catch all the rainfall has been going on for several years now.
He says several irrigation districts have informed nearby towns that there simply will be no water left to send them. He says Mexico isn't helping. It owes the U.S. a ton of water under the 1944 treaty that created the Rio Grande reservoirs. And freshman Texas Senator Ted Cruz and veteran Senator Dianne Feinstein of California had some words for each other during a debate over her proposed ban on assault weapons.
The question is, what kind of weapons are necessary or best suited for that defense? And obviously, the Second Amendment guarantees every individual, regardless of whether he or she is a victim of any crime, sexual assault or otherwise, to self-defense.
It's fine you want to lecture me on the Constitution. I appreciate it. Just know I've been here for a long time. I've passed on a number of bills. I've studied the Constitution myself. I am reasonably well educated, and I thank you for the lecture.
The Senate Judiciary Committee sent legislation to the full Senate. In Austin, multiple guns rights bills were debated. One was campus carry, and Representative Steve Toth of the Woodlands favors allowing concealed handgun licensees to carry all over college campuses.
So do I believe that a woman should be able to defend herself? Yes. A gun is the great equalizer for a woman or a small man.
Another proposal would create a new category of law enforcement, creating school marshals that would be similar to federal air marshals. WTAW News time is 8:10. It's 51 degrees. This look at the news is brought to you by Mary Maids. We'll have more news for you at 8:30, or you can find it anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Kat McMullen, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
If you work long, hard hours and it's difficult to find the time to clean up around the house, relax, because with Mary Maids, it's done. There's nothing like opening your door after a long day at work to see a clean Mary Maids home. Your entire house is spotless and you didn't even lift a finger. Mary Maids sends professionally trained, screened, and bonded professionals to your home so you can trust everything is safe and secure. Voted best of the Brazos Valley for the last 5 years. Call Mary Maids at 979-595-1111. That's 979-595-1111. Mary Maids, relax. It's done.
Right now, BMW's having its first ever BMW certified pre-owned sales event. And with exceptional offers through BMW Financial Services, you can get a BMW that looks and performs so new, it's hard to tell that it's pre-owned. So hurry into the first ever BMW certified pre-owned sales event and take your first on-ramp in your new BMW today. Newer certified pre-owned, we only make one thing, the ultimate driving machine.
Visit Garland Shelton BMW. See them on the web at garlandsheltonbmw.com.
7-11, News Talk 1620, WTAW. Let's do some weather. It's brought to you this morning by Brazos Bounty. Somebody new moves to town, they're offering information on businesses. Get your business there first. Be an early bird. Go to brazosbounty.com.
High pressure, it's going to be with us throughout the day, and that means more sunshine. Temperatures running a few degrees warmer than they did yesterday. We'll reach 75 to 80 this afternoon. Partly cloudy, mild tonight, lows near 60. Partly sunny, warm again tomorrow, 75 to 80. Turning cloudy tomorrow night with lows near 60. A lot of cloudiness on Sunday. Temperatures running warm once again. Highs on Sunday around 80 degrees. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
There you go, 7:13. Kyle Cassell joins us this morning. Kyle, how are you?
Good morning, Scott. I'm doing good. I'm back in the Brazos Valley.
That's it. Let's take a look at what happened last week. Anything go on in your committees last week?
Committees were kind of slow. We only met with agriculture. Environmental regs will pick up the program next week, but in ag we discussing some of the transition issues between, you know, we closed rural affairs last session, and so incorporating them into the Texas Department of Agriculture, giving Commissioner Staples a little more flexibility to run those programs that are truly needed out in the rural communities.
Got it. State Rep Kyle Cassell from District 12 joining us this morning. One of the more contentious things that was discussed in the 2011 session before it failed was the concept of allowing concealed handguns in college classrooms. This was something that may, in fact, have to be voted on this this session. What are your feelings as far as that's concerned?
You know, well, I'm fortunate to serve under Brian Birdwell up north, and his Senate bill looks to be one of the most ones that'll be give campuses flexibility, especially private institutions. I know when I visit with President Lofton, we still have some concerns, so I like his bill. Fletcher has the bill in the House, and, you know, I have a feeling with everything going on, it's going to be an interesting debate. But, you know, there's these kids that are able to carry are, you know, 21 years old. They've had a background check, and so there's some validity there. It's not going to be a large number of students, in my opinion.
Well, and again, of course, anything that has to do with handguns right now is a very volatile situation. But as you've looked at it, what kind of flexibility do administrators need to have as far as you're concerned?
Well, I think they need to dictate which buildings are going to be able to carry on them. I'm assuming that they're not going to like classrooms and large gathering areas by any means. Right now, I believe you can carry on campus. You just can't go into any facility, correct?
Mm-hmm, correct, right.
And I know it's talking to President or Judge Starr up in Waco. You know, I think they want the option to opt out completely as a private institution, and I understand that completely. And I think Brian Birdwell's bill allows them to do that.
Got it. Kyle Cassell joining us this morning. Lawmakers took the first step yesterday, setting up the $2 billion fund to finance water projects across the state of Texas. This is one of the things I find interesting is that this seems to really talk about also conservation being part of that. So for projects within the Brazos River Authority and in your district, how do you see that you might be impacted by this?
Oh, we're going to be impacted greatly. There's a lot of neat things happening, and I'm encouraged by the discussions, you know, with Senator Frazier's side and Representative Ritter's bill in the House. District 12, we talked about this, I think, last Friday, mm-hmm. and the project we're looking up in the northern part of the district. But conservation, you know, especially when we talk about economic development, and with all the Eagleford running up in this part of the country, we've got a company here in Bryan that has a program of conservation using the effluent or the wastewater for fracking. I mean, so those conservation measures, I'm glad to see we're utilizing common sense and maintaining the water we have. I think we alluded to this last week as well. We've got a lot of growth in this state, and we need to do everything in our power to conserve what we have and get a better idea of what we have to share with our friends and neighbors.
You know, when it comes to water rights, and of course, this is something that that is now becoming higher and higher priority. What can be done, as far as you're concerned, for the bad actors, for the people who are wasting water that could be better used?
Well, there needs to be some consequences. You know, we do in District 12, and I know across the state, we have infrastructure problems that we need to fix. Those are just costly matters. But I think with the way this fund will be set up, using a starter, you know, about $2 billion from the Rainy Day Fund, mm-hmm. that'll give us the opportunity to borrow some money and pay it back to fund this $50 million project over the next 50 years. You know, we need to fix all the infrastructure issues we have so we don't have waste that we're not aware of. I know we have leaks throughout many of the small cities, and we have, you know, water systems that have been in play since the 30s, and we need to bring those up to speed with the technology we have to stop, you know, inadvertent waste, but the ones that are wasting it completely need to be stopped and need to be conscious of how valuable that natural resource is.
Certainly. Kyle Cassell joining us this morning. And we may not talk about it every week, but obviously water is going to be something we're going to discuss regularly during the session. But now you, again, as a freshman and also basically a rural state legislator, tough for you to gain political capital, but you obviously need to have a seat at the table for your constituents. What do you and other rural state reps have to do to make sure that your water projects are on a list?
Well, I think people realize how important rural Texas is, but, you know, we had another meeting of our rural caucus yesterday morning, and I'll be honest with you, it still saddens me that there's only 8 or 9 of us that show up, but, you know, most of the water is in that rural areas, and you know, I think that we do have a big bargaining chip that our urban legislators have to come to us to make sure we understand what their needs are and where their wants are, and we're going to have to find common ground to work together to make sure we help them have water in the future. But we're going to defend it staunchly.
That's what you're there for, right?
Yes, sir.
Kyle Cassell joins us on Fridays. You can hear the interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. We'll talk to you next Friday, Kyle.
Scott, look forward to
it. Right, thank you
so much.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's David Schulte talking about why they are experts in roofing.
I would consider our roofing specialists experts in the field. And the way that you become an expert is through two things. Number one is through education. We are continually doing monthly continuing education with industry standards, techniques, installation procedures, product updates. And two is through experience. I think experience gets you peace of mind knowing that the roof is done properly the first time. And experience gets you, if it's not and there is a problem, then we have the experience to go back and troubleshoot it and find out what the problem is.
We're definitely better than the other guys. I think what makes us different is the fact that there's integrity in what we do. The fact that if somebody knows that if they were to have a problem, we're going to be there to honor it.
Retail inflation picks up. This is the Dow Jones Money Report. I'm Jeff Bellinger. That jump in gasoline prices last month really threw the government's inflation calculations for a loop. The consumer price index shot up 0.7% in February. That was the biggest monthly increase for the CPI in nearly 4 years. But take energy prices out of the mix, along with food costs, and the core inflation rate still looks tame. There is more evidence we're putting the recession in the rearview mirror. The Federal Reserve says Americans' debt payments are the lowest in decades. Smaller debt payments make our paychecks go further, leaving more money to be spent on goods and services. Natural gas prices are climbing. Electricity traders expect utilities to burn more coal to offset the increases. The price difference between coal and gas is the widest in nearly 2 years. Stock market futures very slightly higher ahead of the Friday session. Best Buy will be a stock to listen for. RBC raised its investment rating on the retailer. Jeff Bellinger with the Dow Jones Money Report.
In mid-sized companies, the left hand needs to know what the right hand is doing. When they do, business can take on a whole new rhythm, especially with IBM's Smart Cloud Engage Advanced. It combines communities, web meetings, and file sharing with business-grade email in one security-rich environment, making it the smarter way to collaborate. Register now for your 60-day free trial at ibm.com/engines/engage.
La, la, la. When merchandise rep Jay Wolf stays at La Quinta, he gets 8 hours of shut-eye on a comfy pillow-top bed. And when Jay's that rested, you know what he does in his big pitch?
We're talking massive profits with this model. Right, Mr. Barky?
He seals the deal.
Jay, you've got yourself a sale.
La Quinta Inns and Suites take care of you so you can take care of business. Book your next successful stay at LQ.com.
The Dow Jones Money Report is brought to you by ABC Home and Commercial Services, specialists for your environment. Visit abchomeandcommercialservices.com.
Tired of leaving town to attend meetings? The Brazos County Expo is waiting to host your next event, located in the heart of the Brazos Valley and in the center of the Metropolitan Triangle. We can accommodate any size group up to a 2,500-person conference. Interested in a trade show? We can handle that, too, up to 150 booths. Host your meetings right here at home at the Brazos County Expo. Let our experts help plan your next meeting. Visit BrazosCountyExpo.com. They're your meetings, too. Bring it home to the Brazos County Expo.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. Yesterday, we began with the city of Bryan in a three-part interview having to do with development. Now we're going to turn our attention to College Station. Bob Cowell joins us this morning. He's the Director of Planning and Development in College Station. Bob, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Let's start just a minute with you, a bio a little bit, how long you've been at the city and what you were doing before you got
here. Sure. I've been with the city for almost 6 years. June, it'll be 6 years. Prior to that, I was the planning director in Bloomington, Indiana, originally from St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay. I guess we'll start with the rise, because that's the thing that most people notice. This is maybe the biggest change that we've had in College Station in all the years of development. Tell me, if you will, what kind of special needs have to be addressed with a facility like that?
Sure. I mean, as you said, it's a big project. Got about 18 stories in it, I guess, on a less than an acre, if you can believe that. And the challenges with it really deal with the construction of it, obviously. It's a type of construction we don't deal with a whole lot. And we have to inspect the project and go on. But then actually, ultimately, its operation, how traffic is going to flow into and out of the area, being able to accommodate the 470-something students that will probably live in it. It has ground floor retail in it, so at some point we'll be dealing with how do we get deliveries to and from it, how do people actually come to actually shop there and so on. All of those are challenges with it, in addition to, of course, your law enforcement, fire protection, all of those types of things.
Because it's a first of its kind and College Station has not dealt with that, how much did you have to depend on the expertise of the developer themselves?
Yeah, that's a great point. We, of course, rely heavily on all our projects, but especially in that case from their engineers and from their architects to ensure compliance with our codes. And, you know, our plans reviewers and our inspectors work very, very closely with them and the contractor as we go through that. And so that's a very close relationship as we move forward. And it's true with our fire department, too. The fire department has been out there and walked the building several times, and they rely very much on the contractor to kind of show them where everything is and do all of the work that they need to do.
Without drilling down too much in that, though, basically the building has to be responsible for fire protection. Is that right?
Correct. The whole building obviously is sprinkled, and so they have to take care of all of that, demonstrate by code how it meets all of the safety requirements, and it is, in effect, kind of independent. So it can control the fires all in that location, because of course once you get above the first three or four floors, you're gonna have to fight a fire from inside.
So behind that is the stack, which is being developed now, and a possibility that could be actually just phase one.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the Stack is the project right behind, as you said, about five stories. Actually, believe it or not, about the same number of beds as the Rise. It's a pretty massive building. It just doesn't look like that when it's next to an 18-story building, and definitely is just phase one. Culpepper family owns a lot of land adjacent to that and definitely have plans to expand beyond just the Stack project.
So we understand that there's parking for the people who live there, but those people who live there are going to have friends, and those friends may end up, I know it's shocking, they might park illegally. So for first responders or just actually to get moving traffic, what have you got in mind there?
Right. A significant portion of the area around the Rise and the Stack actually don't have any on-street parking. There's going to be some, and all of that on-street parking that is on city streets will be metered just like it is elsewhere in Northgate, and it will be enforced. We have a number of enforcement officers out in the area that are in addition to the police department, and we'll continue to do that in the residential areas just as in the commercial areas. You know, over time, what's going to be a challenge is, as you said, that everybody's going to have enough spaces to park for those residents. It will be interesting to see how the businesses accommodate the ability to bring customers in. They have parking for those, and of course, we do have some on-street parking, but the question will be how much do we ultimately need as these businesses come in?
I think, you know, I've not been a fan of the city and the way that merchants were treated in Northgate. I think it's been going on a long, long time. Is this not the next chapter where these guys and gals are going to make it, it's going to be tough on them to have walk-up traffic?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I would expect a lot of the retailers that are located in these areas will depend on the immediate surrounding residents. I mean, you know, we estimate by time all of this is done in a couple of years, there could be 3,000 to 5,000 more people living in the area. And so I would expect you to see kind of your usual, you know, the tanning salons and the nail salons. And I know there's discussion of CVS coming into the area where they can get a lot of their customers from folks walking or biking to their facility. What'll be interesting is when some of those retailers or restaurants are trying to lure customers from outside the area, how they're able to deal with that. And, of course, in Northgate, the city will allow – we don't set for commercial really minimum parking standards. We leave that up to them to decide what they need. So it'll be interesting to see if that changes over time as they start to fill those spaces.
Would it be feasible that the original Northgate, if you will, that old 2-3-block area, could a second story be built there, or is that really even a feasible
thing? Oh, no, that definitely is, I think, something that's possible. You've seen kind of the first generation of that where many of the bars have gone on and put kind of rooftop bars associated with it. Some of the buildings are structurally able to handle higher, taller heights. Some of them simply aren't. And you may over time see some of those redevelop as the values just get higher as they go along. But, yeah, I would expect to see more density.
Bob Cowell joining us. He's the Director of Planning and Development for the City of College Station. Okay, let's go from South College up to Texas Avenue. That's A&M's property, but they've certainly got plans there.
Right. The property we refer to as Campus Point, I think it will actually have a different name when it's developed. The university system has partnered with a private development firm. Midway is the name of the company. They did City Center in Houston is probably their most well-known project around here. And they are looking at developing a very large mixed-use type of project. As we understand it, might include things like hotel, conference center, certainly residential units, a lot of retail. Definitely their target is more of the larger community for customers and not rely as heavily on the student base, so a very different kind of product for the area as well.
Do you know what the timeline is on that project?
My understanding is that the housing that's on the property right now, which is the kind of married, the leftover part of the married student housing, may start being demolished as soon as June, as soon as this summer, and then I would expect within, you know, 6 months to a year we would start seeing some construction. I understand that it's going to be developed in phases over, you know, 10 to 15 years. So it'll be the first phase that starts in that time frame.
Then, of course, the spectacular one was when the Ramada was imploded, and the old Ramada, and nothing's really happened other than that space been cleared. Are they still on a schedule?
Yes, definitely. The Plaza project, you know, as you mentioned, was imploded some months ago. It may have been a year ago even now. And there were plans immediately submitted after that, everything moving forward. I think the owner of the property had to work through some financing issues. All of those have actually been resolved in the last 2 weeks. So what's going on now is this week and next week, so over spring break, there's some utility work going on, some of which the city is doing, some of which private contractors are doing, and we'll start seeing actual construction out on that property in the next few months. So they're back on track. most likely for a 2014-2015. Again, it'll be developed in phases. I think the first phase will come online in 2014. Most likely the first phase will include residential, obviously. And then 2015, I think you'll start seeing the other phases. So, yeah, it seems to be back on track again.
So that's the new Northgate. Is that our definition now?
Yeah, we are definitely expanding our definition of what we consider Northgate, which was historically kind of viewed as being from South College over to Welborn Road. And definitely the character of the area really speaks to that being from Texas Avenue all the way to Welborn, and really from the Bryan City line up to University. And in some ways, with the improvements that Bryan has done recently, kind of even expanding into Bryan, which is very much the historic part of Northgate as well.
Well, this draws into my next question. Have you and the city been in, because this is actually a place where you abut, mm-hmm. I mean, where there's yeah. housing that's Bryan on one side and College Station on right. the other. What kind of discussions between
yeah,
there
definitely have been discussions over the years and partnerships. You know, they just recently completed a project where they put in a lot of sidewalk street lights and a roundabout and some other kinds of things. And the city worked with them on doing a piece of that same project where our project joined up with their project to ensure that there was consistency between those. We're in conversations right now with them regarding some improvements that they're looking at doing on Welborn Road and seeing if we can partner with them on that. And of course, historically, there were some improvements on Texas Avenue as well that were done jointly. So definitely, I think, more interest in the past of trying to make it so that it isn't this abrupt end between the two communities, and rather sort of stitch those two together.
You know, as a resident of College Station, I pretty much want to stay off University Drive now and in the future, but there are going to be people who are going to need to move through in that area, maybe not necessarily on University. So what do you see as far as development for those streets that already exist?
Yeah, without a doubt, the biggest struggle out there is going to be managing the transportation and the traffic in the area. And as you said, University is University. I mean, every project that comes in, we're reviewing with TxDOT and seeing if we can get some minor adjustments. So that's why you'll see things like some deceleration lanes and some of those kinds of things. But it's not going to make a big change. So what the city's focusing instead its efforts on are making sure those through routes that we have, like Church Avenue and Cross Street tied with Cherry Street, are getting upgraded as they go along as well. And so the city council last week partnered with the developer of the Rise and of the Stack to realign Church Avenue so that it flows better. And it eventually will provide a connection from Welborn Road all the way through to South College as the second phase of Culpeper develops. So most of our focus is going to be on that. Same will be true over running from Texas Avenue to South College, making sure that Hensel still goes through. We had discussions with the Plaza redevelopment, making sure there's connection between it and Campus Point. Again, the idea is to try to facilitate as much of that local movement off of University as we can, save University for the people who are really traveling through the area. But again, having said all of that, there are certain times of the day it's going to be pretty busy.
But everything you've talked about is on the wrong side, if you will, of University. Those people have to get over to campus.
Yeah.
What's going to be the solution there?
Yeah, the primary focus has been to make transit easier between the two sides, certainly in partnering with A&M to make sure those improvements could happen. And then definitely, of course, making sure that as many pedestrians and bicyclists can move safely. So the Phase 1 project that we partnered with TxDOT on, and we're working right now with TxDOT on Phase 2, which will run from South College to where the last one ended, the last project ended. And it really is to try to make sure we can move as many pedestrians as we possibly safely can across that corridor. Vehicular movements across the corridor are tough. There'll be, you know, some signal upgrades to try to help make that happen a little bit better, but there are just so few entrances into the campus on that side that you really end up kind of at a couple of intersections that get congested. I think, you know, some things that may get looked at are looking at raised medians and where turn movements may be prevented so that we can focus them at the signalized intersections, but that's not yet decided. That'll be moving vehicles across that corridor will be the toughest part. I think pedestrians and bicycles we've got a pretty good handle on.
This concludes part one of our three-part series on development in College Station with Bob Cowell, who's the Director of Planning and Development at City of College Station. Thanks for the time, Bob.
Thank you.
The Aggie Report is next.
Texas Mutual Insurance Company salutes the offensive lineman. Oh, it's not the most glamorous position on the field. You don't make the highlight reel or get your name in the paper. But you provide something no successful team can do without. Protection. We know. We've been protecting Texas companies with workers' comp coverage for over 20 years. So here's to you, lineman. You keep hanging in there and taking care of business. We'll do the same. Come see us at texasmutual.com.
Aggie baseball moves out onto Olsen Field at Bluebell Park tonight, beginning at 6:35, a weekend series against Georgia. It's SEC play. Georgia tonight, 6:35, 2:05 tomorrow afternoon, and then 12:05 coming up on Sunday. Earlier on this program, we talked to the coach about his qualifications for a leadoff man, what he looks for in the number two and three guys in the batting order. Rob Childress.
Well, usually in college baseball, and, you know, for us, our number three hole hitter is probably your best guy. I mean, he's your best hitter. And Tyler Naquin was that guy for, you know, quite some time in our program. And, you know, but the two hole hitter's got to be a guy that can move base runners and, you know, hopefully is a guy that can run as well. And, again, it's just about moving the offense along. Three hole hitter, he's got to be, you know, your utility knife. He can do it all. I mean, he can bunt, he can hit and run, and he can hit for average. And, you know, for us, you know, that's all, for all teams, I think it's probably your best hitter. So we're looking at opposing team scouting reports. I mean, you always really want to focus and bear down on that three-hole hitter.
Texas A&M head baseball coach Rob Childress. The Aggies and Georgia tonight at Bluebell Park. 6:35 first pitch. I'm Dave South. That's your Aggie report.
WTAW News time is 8:35. It's 53 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by SWBC Mortgage. Experience the SWBC difference and their commitment to personal service, on-time closings, and seamless transactions. Good morning, I'm Kat McMullen. The Census Bureau has come out with some of its annual population estimates.
The Bryan-College Station area is not growing as fast as Dallas-Fort Worth or Houston, which led the nation, but 3,000 more people came to the BCS statistical area, which takes in portions of neighboring counties. That's during the last 12-month period ending last July. Another 3,000 moved into Brazos County, marking the first time the county population exceeded 200,000. For surrounding counties, population increased by fewer than 100 in Grimes, Burleson, and Washington counties. Headcount dropped by under 100 in Madison and Leon counties and almost 200 in Robertson County. They were among the 96 rural counties in Texas that's lost population since 2010. The census will release population estimates for individual cities later this year. Online at WTAW.com are the tables of the county and market figures. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620 WTAW.
Bryan and College Station have regulations controlling junkyards. This week, an ordinance was approved by the Brazos County Commission. County Judge Dwayne Peters says this applies to businesses operating outside of city limits.
There are state-required ordinances, and a lot of times it's if they're on a state road, they require fencing and all to protect the site. But those rules don't apply out on a county road. So we've implemented those same type rules that the state requires on our roads.
On our website at WTAW.com, you can read the new regulations, which also require existing county junkyards to meet screening requirements by October 1st. The Texas Commission on Environmental Quality has scheduled another public hearing on a proposed private landfill west of Easterwood Airport. Online at WTAW.com are details of the April 3rd hearing in downtown Bryan at the Brazos County Commission's meeting room. Speakers will be limited to those who can demonstrate they would be adversely affected in a way not common to members of the general public by the landfill, which would collect construction debris. State officials say the contested case hearing is a legal proceeding that will be conducted similarly to a civil trial in district court. A public-private partnership to bring outdoor art to the north end of downtown Bryan goes before the City Council next Tuesday. Downtown Bryan Association Director Renee Lawrence says the Brazos Valley Arts Council, the Bryan School District, and A&M are also involved.
And it's really a framework, an armature, or a structure, if you will, for the artists to design what they will, to either hang from it or suspend from it or swing from it. So it's really an open-ended project, and the idea is for it to be renewed. Whatever art installation goes in there gets renewed annually.
The council has been asked to allow the outdoor art in the block bordered by North Main, Bryan Avenue, 21st and 22nd. 10 different gun rights bills are being debated at the state capitol. One bill would create a new category of law enforcement. State Representative Jason Villalba of Dallas describes his school marshal plan as similar to the federal air marshal program, but for public schools.
An employee of the school is probably a vice principal, a custodian, a coach, and those individuals undergo significant training to become a new category of licensed law enforcement officer under Texas state law.
A campus carry bill allowing concealed handgun licensees complete access on college campuses is also being debated. In Washington, a proposed ban on assault weapons included exchanges between Senators Ted Cruz of Texas and Dianne Feinstein of California.
It seems to me that all of us should begin as our foundational document with the Constitution. And the Second Amendment in the Bill of Rights provides that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
You use the word prohibit. It exempts 2,271 weapons. Isn't that enough for the people in the United States?
Mr. Chairman.
Do they need a bazooka?
Cruz and John Cornyn both voted against Feinstein's ban as the legislation proceeded to the full Senate. And officials of water systems along the Rio Grande Valley are working with an extension engineer from A&M to deal with supply problems. Professor Guy Phipps says entire towns are in danger of running out of water this spring.
They're going to be likely out of water come April, May, and will not be able to deliver municipal water.
Phipps says several irrigation districts have informed nearby towns that there simply will be no water left to send them. WTAW News Time is 8:40. It's 53 degrees. This look at the news is brought to you by SWBC Mortgage. We'll have more news for you at noon, or you can find it anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Kat McMullen, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Hi, I'm Veronica Mitchell. At SWBC Mortgage, we offer competitive interest rates and an array of mortgage loan products. We're local lenders with over 48 years of combined experience in making home loans right here in Bryan College Station. We take pride in serving our community, and we'll work hard for you. So whether you're buying or refinancing a home, choose a lender who put your interest first. SWBC Mortgage. Call us at 693-0481. 693-0481.
NMLS number 228469. Loan subject to credit approval. Rate subject to change daily. Equal housing lender.
We're running up on St. Patrick's Day in a big hurry. It's Sunday this year, and at O'Bannon's, they're going to open at 9 o'clock for breakfast. 10 a.m., they start pulling pints of Guinness and green beer, and the music and festivities start in full. Global Events, as a matter of fact, will be there serving up traditional Irish menu items such as fish and chips, shepherd's pie, and corned beef and cabbage. Now, they're going to block off the entire street so they can set up the stage with live music all day with the Blackguards. They're a big Irish rock band here with a Texas twist, and the tea merchants will bring traditional footstomp and fiddle music, too. Lots of contests for your chance to win great stuff all day long, like shirts, beads, shot glasses, hats, just about everything else that you can think of for giveaways. And on St. Patrick's Day, the pub is always visited by Guinness, Jameson's, Tullamore Dew, Bushmills, Smithwick's, Killian's, and last year, as a matter of fact, they were even visited by the Guinness Book of World Records. Yeah, they came by O'Bannon's too. 17 hours of the biggest, most authentic St. Patrick's Day celebration in town. West End of Northgate, just off Church Street. Happy St. Patrick's Day from O'Bannon's.
Haven't heard from your insurance agent in a while? Don't know who to contact to get answers to your questions about coverage? At Van Dyke Rankin, they realize there are a lot of unanswered questions you might have with your current coverage, particularly healthcare coverage. Look them up. They'll calm your fears and make sure you know what you have and with whom. Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Company. Honesty, integrity, doing it right. Serving the greater Brazos Valley area and beyond since 1936. That's VandykeRankin.com.
Easter is fast approaching, and now's the time to capture those special Easter moments. Call Specialties Photography today to reserve your child's Easter portraits with live Easter bunnies. Special includes 15 shots in studio, 2 5x7s, and 8 wallets from your favorite pose, all for only $39.95, with all additional sheets only $14.95. Sessions available now through April 5th. Call Specialties Photography to reserve your Easter special or visit specialphoto.com. Specialties Photography, your locally owned and operated professional portrait studio.
843. Brazos Valley weather brought to you by Thomas Moore Feed, providing Brazos County with a full line of feed, fertilizer, and gardening products. Thomas Moore Feed, just 3 miles south of Texas World Speedway, or at morefeed.com.
High pressure, it's going to be with us throughout the day, and that means more sunshine. Temperatures running a few degrees warmer than they did yesterday. We'll reach 75 to 80 this afternoon. Partly cloudy, mild tonight, lows near 60. Partly sunny, warm again tomorrow, 75 to 80. turning cloudy tomorrow night with lows near 60. A lot of cloudiness on Sunday. Temperatures running warm once again. Highs on Sunday around 80 degrees. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
All right, so next month, April the 22nd, it's not just Earth Day. It's the day that McDonald's will offer their yolk-free egg McMuffin nationwide. It's the Egg White Delight.
Huh.
Shaves off a big 50 calories from your standard version, 300 calories. It's also, per McDonald's, a premium option. Unlike its competitors' microwaved preparation, the whites will be fried free-form on the griddle with a spatula.
Hey, hey.
Then it'll be placed on a whole-grain English muffin topped with Canadian bacon and a slice of white cheddar.
Sounds pretty good.
You'll be able to order the egg white-only version of other McDonald's breakfast sandwiches for an undisclosed additional charge, if you'd like to do that. So there you go. So you brought in some McDonald's.
Well, actually, that was Lainey from Candy95's husband brought that stuff for all of us.
Oh, well. So, thanks to Mr. Lainey for doing that.
Okay. I'm just laughing. They're going to charge you more for not the whole egg.
Well, it's just like if you go to the grocery store and you buy canned vegetables that have no salt, that costs more.
Yep.
Why is that? Reason is, has to change their process. Yep. They have to do things differently.
Well, it's like that with everything.
Sure. This Broadway musical, The Book of Mormon, I don't know if you've heard about that.
It's a Broadway musical called The Book of Mormon?
Yeah, it is. I've heard Andrew Hicks play that's one of the songs.
It's a pretty big deal. Anyway, it's debuting on the road in Washington, D.C. Demand for the tickets so heavy the website crashed. This is a biggie. I think it's the number one show in, maybe Wicked's number one, but it's in New York, but it's doing well. Okay, so we've solved all the problems in the world. We're down to this. What's the best way to secure a bag of bread? This is the $10 million question. In one corner, we have your humble twist tie, simple but more labor-intensive. On the other, we have plastic clips. Less work, but more room for error, it says here. What's the error?
You don't get it all the way seared.
Okay. So,
or leave it out and a cat will take one bite out of the very center of it.
Well, that could happen, I guess. You may not even notice, but those little tiny pieces of equipment safeguarding your loaf this is a big deal. This is a big debate, and it's been going on for more than 50 years. And the market basically said we're talking about a $10.6 million annually market, and there's no winner.
The bags?
Yeah, for the closes. Yep.
$10 million in twisty ties?
It says.
Well, by twisty ties, are you only talking about the metal kind, or are you including the square-shaped plastic things that
use? No, that's what we're talking about. That's
you know what else you can use those for?
I'm listening.
You
guitar
can use,
picks.
Well,
yeah.
You probably could, but you can also label stuff. Put them on your plugs, and then you'll never have to accidentally unplug the printer again, because all you have to do is read the little tag where you've written printer.
There you go. That's Kat's tip for the day. That's a very good tip. But no, that's what the debate is all about. Do we do the twist tie thing, or do we do the plastic thingy?
My question is, why they don't do Ziploc? Like a lot of the frozen foods you can buy now, you take a couple of the waffles out, you can Ziploc the bag back.
I think the expense would be prohibitive. I really do. I think it'd be prohibitive.
It's kind of a weird-shaped bag, too.
Thing, though, about the twist tie, the twist tie also gives you information. The little plastic thing gives you information. As for, you can put your best consumed by or the mold starts to grow by date on there so that you know, as opposed to if you just do a twist tie.
Plus, well, the twist ties are color-coded.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, depending on what bakery, when the bread comes out, if it's white, that's like the new one and the old ones are blue. Or
really?
Yeah, there you go.
So you always look for the different. It's not like that for all bakeries.
Yeah,
but
I don't do that.
Like
I just
that.
Finger all the bread. Like,
perfect.
Grab it.
That's what they want. Yes.
I picked that up from someone else at the grocery store who was squeezing the bread.
Really?
I thought, oh, that's not a bad idea.
Okay, well,
Mrs. Whipple.
Yeah. You're probably the one who at Thanksgiving puts your finger in there and you got to eat that?
No, I lick my finger first.
All right, that's it. Yeah, I do that. So, all right. So anyway, it says that apparently the two methods will coexist for some time. So,
well, good.
Yeah,
I was worried.
I know. Yeah, and they're a little late to the game, but Facebook is working on incorporating the use of the hashtag.
Oh, goody.
Yep. The brainchild of Twitter, that's used by your social network and sources like Tumblr and Instagram and Google+. Sources familiar with the project say it's still very much in the works. For those a little out of the loop, in case you don't know, the hashtag, you know, it's that tic-tac-toe thing.
The little pound sign.
Yeah, that's it. Is simply a way for people to search for tweets that have a common topic. And that way you can start your conversation. The hashtag feature will allow Facebook to group its conversations so that they can build around topics like, you know, Bieber or whatever, you know. Yeah. Anyway, Facebook hopes the feature will give users more reason to stay on the site and therefore click through the ads and therefore make them more money. So please do what you can to help them make money.
Yes.
Because they need it. 10 till. Traffic cops in Germany thought they had ticketed a badly parked Volkswagen Beetle. They made a mistake. It appears to be a VW covered in snow, but in fact it was a snow sculpture shaped like a VW.
That's
built by the pranksters.
Funny.
It is. Somebody built the car overnight in a no-parking zone complete with headlights and a Volkswagen logo on the hood. Police apparently thought there was a real car underneath all the snow, but they figured out the joke when they tried to dust off the white stuff to read the license plate. A police spokesman said, it was a very convincing prank, but, he went on to add, car or no car, it was still parked illegally.
Okay. What a German.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Who's good? Yeah, wow. Shots at the Germans today.
Hey, I've got German blood.
There you go.
On my hands.
So I... Very nice.
I'm just kidding. That's an old Chase Murphy joke. Okay, I took it.
A husband and wife from Thule, Utah, accused of robbing a bank, along with their small children. According to the Salt Lake Tribune, the unidentified woman allegedly handed the bank teller a note demanding cash. Then she took the money to a waiting getaway car driven by her hubby. Officers say they tracked the couple down. Two children, ages 2 and 5, sitting in the back seat. What did they tell the kids? Wait here. Mommy's going to go get some money. The couple told police they robbed the bank because they faced eviction and higher medical costs. You see, if Obamacare had been in place, there wouldn't be bank robberies. Children wouldn't be put in harm's way. Terrible. Shouldn't we just maybe give them a little can on the side of the road and you can just throw money in it so they don't have to do that? I know they didn't.
Or at least if they got several kids, force them to sing on a street corner.
Well, I know that they didn't make any bad life decisions, so, you know, that's fine. Here are your top video rentals. You can be like everybody else. Number three, Wreck-It Ralph comes in at number three for video rentals. Number two, it's Playing for Keeps. I don't know what that is. And then number one, Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2. That'd be your number one video rental. Open it up this weekend, even though it's the Selena Gomez Spring Breakers. Let's see, Spring Breakers, Spring Breakers. Selena Gomez, Vanessa Hudgens, is that her name? And Ashley Benson. Don't know what that is. And then Oz really may, in fact, continue to be the number one movie. And then Steve Buscemi and Steve Carell in The Incredible Burt Wonderstone with Jim Carrey as well. Halle Berry got a new film out called The Call. She ends up playing a 911 operator who receives a call from a girl who's been abducted and she must help her out.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Let's see how that works out. Okay, so congrats to Oprah. Oprah tops Forbes list of most influential people for 2013 with a bunch of movie directors hanging in there. Second year in a row for Oprah to be number one. She beat out Steven Spielberg, Martin Scorsese, and Ron Howard, along with Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz, really?
Yep.
Came in at number six.
Yep.
Number seven is Barbara Walters, Susie Orman, and Bono. And number 10 was Clint Eastwood. So there you are, the most influential people.
Visit Batteries Plus in College Station on the corner of Texas and Holloman and save $10 on select lawn and garden batteries now through May 31st after rebate. Batteries Plus. Get what you need.
Lunch doesn't have to be boring, and it doesn't have to be the same boring lunch day after day. At Subway restaurants, you can enjoy many of your favorite sandwiches as a featured fresh value meal for $5.50. A different regular 6-inch sandwich is featured every day as a fresh value meal with chips and a 21-ounce drink. Choosing lunch just got easier. Start your week off right with a turkey breast and Black Forest ham sandwich on Monday. On Tuesday, enjoy oven-roasted chicken. Alleviate those midweek blues with turkey breast on Wednesday. Treat yourself on Thursday to a spicy
spicy Italian. End the work week with a cold cut combo on Friday. The weekends are even better with Black Forest ham on Saturday and sweet onion chicken teriyaki on Sunday. It's our $5.50 fresh value meal of the day. Get a featured 6-inch sandwich, chips, and a 21-ounce drink for only $5.50. Head to your nearest Subway restaurant and see what's on the menu today. Valid at participating locations, excludes premium subs, additional charge for extras, limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Subway, eat fresh.
Children learn to read on the laps of their parents. Did you know nearly two-thirds of low-income families have no children's books at home? So here's how you can help. Become a part of the Half Price Books Half Pint Library program. Bring a new or gently used children's book to any Half Price Books today. We'll match your donations and distribute to local organizations for kids in need. To learn more, visit hpb.com. The Half Pint Library Book Drive. It's kids' books from the community for the community.
Time for Bryan College Station's 2013 American Heart Association Go Red for Women Luncheon. The luncheon is an afternoon of inspiration, education, fundraising, and fun with a delicious seated meal and silent auction. Tickets are $50 and the luncheon is at 11:30 on Thursday, April 4th at the Hilton and College Station. For more information or to sponsor a table, please call 512-338-2425. Make it your mission to fight heart disease by calling 512-338-2425.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Thank you. Fortill, News Talk 1620 WTAW, massive report released by the Pew Research Center yesterday. Experts say fathers are increasingly convinced and anxious they're neglecting their offspring. Estimated 46% of dads, compared with 23% of moms, said they don't spend enough time with their own kids, despite the dad-kid hang time has nearly tripled in the last four decades. The patriarchs of families spend half as much time with their kids as their moms do. Of course, the problem is the dads who don't and don't want to, or don't and don't care, or even worse, don't even know they have the kids. That would be the problem. NBA. Anyhow, smartphone users are Thank you. Especially kids, teens, and your 20-somethings have taken a liking to Snapchat. Now, this is an app that provides real-time picture chatting that supposedly is super private, since the sender of the photos and the message chooses the expiration time, say 10 minutes. Once the time elapses, the chat session and the photo vanish forever. Sounds private, right? Not so much. The recipient can take a screenshot or can simply use another smartphone or camera to capture the screenshot of the image. So if you've got a youngin who's using Snapchat, see earlier story about hanging with your children. If they're using Snapchat and they think that everything is being kept secret because it goes away after 10 minutes, remember that other person on the other end could save it. And the luckiest day to get married, St. Patrick's Day is considered to be the luckiest day of the year to get married.
Really?
Unless it falls on a Saturday.
Okay.
According to the Irish proverbs, Saturday is the worst day of the week to get married. Marry on Monday for wealth, Tuesday for health, Wednesday the best day of all, Thursday for losses, Friday for crosses, and Saturday for no luck at all. So, there you go. There's your little Irish proverb for today.
I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Really? Well, there you go. Now you got that going.
You learned me something today.
Well, there. That's a whole reason for having to get up early in the morning then. If you're behind a computer screen all day, simple way to avoid computer vision syndrome. CVS. It's called 20/20/20/20. You blink 20 times in a row every 20 minutes.
And then everyone thinks you have a problem.
Right. Combined with looking away from the screen for 20 seconds while focusing on an object 20 feet away. Those most at risk of CVS spend 3 or more hours a day in front of a computer screen. Symptoms include dry and tired eyes, headaches, sore necks and joints. Of course, you know, your coworkers can cause the exact same thing.
Absolutely.
I don't know why you'd want to blame it on CVS.
Well, and looking 20 feet away is also important if you're doing small tactical work,
sure.
Like working on a sewing machine. And when I worked in the sweatshop at Baylor, they'd always say, look, every once in a while, look 20 feet away.
Refocus. So, yes, yeah. Refocus. What's more distracting than two people carrying on conversation in a movie theater?
Very little.
One person on his phone, overhearing a one-sided phone conversation, more distracting than listening to both sides of a conversation. Turns out we tend to pay more attention to a cell phone conversation because it's more unpredictable. We're trying to figure out what the conversation is all about. Either way, it's annoying. 82% found cell phone conversations annoying. Of course, the other thing when you're talking, when you're hearing a cell phone person is talking so loudly, because they can't hear themselves, of course, in the phone. So they're talking like this even though they're in the movies. Yeah. Unless you tell them the plot while you're... Yeah, who did it? Oh, the butler did it. Wow, that's great. Yeah. Make you really popular at the movies. All right, on this date in history. Julie caught it in the back. Little Julie Caesar. 44 B.C. Et tu, Brutus, right?
And, yeah,
and some other senators, too. They all decided to...
So did he get a caesarean section?
Oh, very nice. Yeah. The Ides of March, thus we have that. 1972, pretty good movie called The Godfather had its premiere. That worked out pretty well for him, didn't it?
Take the cannoli.
Yeah, exactly. And in 1991, four Los Angeles police officers were indicted for the videotaped March 3rd, 1991 beating of...